Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Amerks host Toronto tonight at 7 on the proud home of Rochester Americans Hockey. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back. You're in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app. As we continue to prepare you for Sunday, biggest game of the year for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Biggest game in a long time, I would say, Gene, for the Buffalo Bills, with the Ravens coming to town and a chance for the Bills to really assert themselves and make a statement for the rest of the league to take notice.
Yeah, when was the last time the Bills played the best team in football, not named the Patriots? That's what we have this week, the Baltimore Ravens coming to town. Kevin Ostricker is the Locked On Ravens podcast host joining us here in the Sports Bar. Kevin, appreciate your time. How on earth did the Ravens lose to the Browns? If I'm looking for reasons on to why Buffalo might win this game, I'm curious to learn what exactly did the Browns do that day to handle Baltimore so well?
Well, you know, that was really the defense's worst game. And when you think of the Ravens' defense, you don't think of 500-yard games where they give up those yards, and that's exactly what happened there. The run defense wasn't good. Nick Chubb ran all over them. Baker Mayfield made some throws, and that's not really a statement you hear a lot this year. That was the game where the Ravens knew that something had to change. That game, the Ravens lost 40-25, and after that game, the Ravens decided they had to go out and do something about that defense. They brought in Josh Bynes. They brought in L.J. Fort, two linebackers who have helped shore up that really not-so-stout linebacker core. And what they've done is they've brought in 10 new players on that defense who weren't there in week four. And they've been able to reshape their defense and be able to pair that with this high-powered offense. So when you talk about why did the Ravens lose to the Browns, it wasn't so much Lamar Jackson had a bad day. No, it wasn't his best day. But the Ravens went out, they acquired Marcus Peters, who is one of the best cornerbacks ever since week seven, having two pick sixes. They've gone out, acquired Justin Ellis, Domino Pecco, two players on the interior front. This defense is here, and they have arrived, and paired with that high-powered offense, it's a scary sight.
Kevin, the Niners played the Ravens tough in awful, awful conditions at the stadium on Sunday. Did they provide any sort of template as to a way to maybe agitate or compete with the Ravens based on what you saw on Sunday?
You know, if there's a way, Mother Earth is going to have to pave the way for that. I think that Lamar Jackson really got into his head about the rain and that monsoon-like rain that was falling down. He said in his post-game press conferences that he was really getting into his own head about it. He said that the balls were slipping out of his hand. He was able to complete a few tough passes, but you saw it last year. He was throwing balls behind receivers, wasn't able to make the throws he needed to. But the Ravens were able to adjust. The 49ers ran all over the Ravens this game. To the tune of 174 rushing yards, the Ravens actually beat them by four. They had 178 of their own. But they weren't spreading their defense out in the first half. They were letting Raheem Mostert get to the edge, get around. They were targeting Marcus Peters, who throughout his career has been decent in coverage, and now with the Ravens, he's been exceptional. But he hasn't been known as being a strong tackler. The 49ers figured that out, and they were able to target him. Marcus Peters missed a few tackles. Mostert played exceptionally, having 19 carries for 146 yards and one touchdown. But after that, the Ravens expanded their defense. The 49ers were only able to get 3 points in that second half, and there were only 6 total points scored in the second half. And when you think of the Ravens' offense, you don't think of that. You think of the 40-point blowouts, the 30-point blowouts. This was a game where the top-rated offense was going against the top-rated defense. And I think if these two teams were to rematch in the Super Bowl, it'd be a much different game for both teams because they're not lugging those wet jerseys around. They're not slipping on the turf, and the quarterbacks aren't throwing the ball with them slipping out of their hands. So if there was a blueprint, this probably was the game to go back and look at because there were some aspects where the Ravens weren't as strong as they usually are. But overall, I think it's a different game if that rain isn't there.
Kevin Ostricker is the host of the Locked On Ravens podcast, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN. Kevin, if I'm an opposing defensive coordinator, I would think, well, we're all fully aware that the Ravens are on this historic pace for running the football, 200 yards a game. If it's not Jackson, it's Ingram. how many times have the Ravens gone up against cover zero? In other words, have there been teams that have openly dared Baltimore to throw the ball against them this year?
Yes, there have been multiple instances where the Ravens have had to go up against cover zero looks. Teams will stack the box and dare them to run the ball. But I want to look back a little bit towards last year in the Ravens' playoff loss to the Chargers. The Chargers put seven defensive backs on the field and matched Lamar Jackson's speed. And when you look at that game, Lamar Jackson, I think, had three completions through three quarters or some crazy low stat like that. And that was really deemed the blueprint to stop Lamar Jackson. Now, teams went into this year, and they knew Lamar Jackson had improved, but they didn't know how much. And as a Ravens fan, as a Ravens analyst, sitting back and watching Lamar Jackson improve his decision-making, improve his footwork, improve his spiral, the teams that provide cover zero looks for this Ravens offense, that's not really a problem anymore because the offensive line has improved despite some interior offensive line woes earlier in the season. They have really shored up there. The Ravens have a blocking scheme and an offensive scheme that works for Lamar Jackson. So when the Ravens are faced with cover zero looks, they'll put in a big body look to counter that, but then they'll throw the football. They have Nick Boyle and Hayden Hurst and Mark Andrews, who currently have seven touchdowns on the year. And Andrews has been a threat for this offense. You also throw in Hollywood Brown, who's been a great receiver for Lamar Jackson. They grew up together. You look at Willie Snead and all these weapons, and even Mark Ingram, who's a receiving threat out of that backfield. The Ravens have kind of done it this year where if they're putting cover zero on the field for the defense, they will throw the football, and then once the defense backs up and kind of puts more defensive backs to actually cover, they'll just run it right down your throat. It's a counter strategy for the Ravens, and it's been working to perfection this year.
Kevin Ostreicher is the host of the Locked On Ravens podcast in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Kevin, we're familiar with the works of Greg Roman, and it's funny. You watch him now with what he's doing with Lamar Jackson versus what he did when we last saw him here in Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor. It just speaks to the idea that his system really can work if you have a quarterback that is as athletic, and this is not a slight on Tyrod, but it shows the difference in talent level between Tyrod Taylor and Lamar Jackson.
No, I'm 100% with you there, and I think you also go back and you look at Colin Kaepernick and what Roman was able to do with him, and that was the Ravens 49ers matchup in the Super Bowl in 2013. Lamar Jackson is a special talent in his own 100%. He has elusiveness that no other quarterback has and skills, awareness, that are unique to himself. But you mentioned Tyrod Taylor. I mentioned Colin Kaepernick. The way that the NFL has shifted away from these running teams and running schemes, Lamar Jackson and even players like, you know, Deshaun Watson, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson are bringing it right back. And now we see this RPO offense kind of working to perfection. What Roman has done this year has been absolutely tremendous. Lamar Jackson last year came into an offense that was tailored to Joe Flacco, who's a pocket passer, not very mobile, has deep arm strength. They were doing short, intermediate stuff, and while that worked to a degree, it wasn't exposing Lamar Jackson's best qualities and best skill set. What happened after the season was Marty Morningweg was let go. They let Greg Roman be promoted to the offensive coordinator position, and that was the best hire based off of what you just said. The scheme that they are running, they run counters with their offensive linemen. They pull everybody to one side of the field. They run misdirections, screens, anything you can imagine to trick the defense. And there was all this discrepancy going on in the preseason where they weren't unveiling their offense. And it seems like week by week, Greg Roman is adding more and more wrinkles into that playbook that have really helped the Ravens keep it simple, but also throw defenses off.
Kevin, who is Project Pat, and how might he be employed against Buffalo this week?
Project Pat is absolutely everywhere. Patrick Ricard, who is a fullback and defensive tackle, he plays both positions. And he plays both positions well. The Ravens have employed a fullback in their offensive scheme for many years, dating back to LaRon McClain, Kyle Juszczyk, who's now in San Francisco. And now there's Patrick Ricard, who came out of the University of Maine as a defensive tackle. But the Ravens saw something in him and tried him out at fullback. And now what you have is a player who is able to play both on the offense and defensive side of the ball, as well as play special teams. On the season, Ricard has 47 yards on 8 receptions. He dropped one of his targets last week, didn't give him a perfect reception to target ratio because of that. But on defense, he's also making an impact. Overall, he hasn't done a ton, but he does have 9 total tackles. He has a sack in there, a forced fumble. He's a player where you don't have to decide between two players on who to keep on the 53-man because he's both of them, and he's even a third guy on special teams. The Ravens like to employ him and move him in motion. When you watch this Ravens offense, whether it's the tight ends or Patrick Ricard, the fullback, they like to have a lot of pre-snap motion to confuse the defense, make sure they're always moving around, and that will dictate where the ball usually goes. Now, they do a good job of disguising these looks and making them look the same and having a different outcome. What I mean by that is that, for example, when you look at Patrick Ricard in the backfield, the Ravens run a lot of their looks out of the pistol offense. So it's in the middle between the shotgun and being under center. Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram with Patrick Ricard in the backfield, you have three looks, but it's all the same thing. When Lamar Jackson hands that ball to Mark Ingram, puts it in his belly, there are three things that can happen. Lamar Jackson can hand it off to Ingram, and he can go straight up the middle if the defender kind of sets the edge. If Lamar Jackson takes that ball and runs it around the edge, that means the defender on the edge is most likely crashed in to stop Mark Ingram. And then also, Lamar Jackson can pull that football back and throw it to somebody else. There are so many looks that the Ravens employ, and almost all of them have Patrick Ricard's name on them. He's been such an impactful player for the Ravens this year. And I think the Buffalo fans and Buffalo Nation have to look out for him as an unsung hero in this football game.
Well, Kevin, I mean, we keep talking about ways to stop the Ravens' offense, and it doesn't sound like there are any ways. We know that the league continues to evolve and adjust, and eventually people will find a way to slow down this Ravens' offense. Does it come down to just playing good, fundamentally sound, assignment-based football and making sure that if you've got Jackson and this guy's got Ingram, that you guys aren't falling for any of the play fakes or any of the options? You're really sticking to your assignments and maintaining that gap discipline as well?
Yeah, it's 100% that, and I'm going to add something into that as well. The keys to beating this Ravens team, if you are able to, is staying disciplined in your lanes, keeping on your man, and also, to beat this Ravens offense, your best weapon is your own offense, because the Ravens pride themselves on being able to just hold the ball and chew the clock, run out the clock. When the Ravens have the football, sometimes you won't get the ball back for 7, 8, 9 minutes. There was a stat in the game against the Patriots. The Ravens played that 37-20 victory. In the last two possessions that the Ravens held the football, they held the ball for 17 minutes. That's over a quarter of time that the Ravens had the ball. The Patriots' offense was cold. The Patriots' defense was tired. And it just wasn't working for the Patriots, and that's why the Ravens were able to secure that victory. In terms of staying disciplined, Lamar Jackson is such an elite athlete and such an elite talent now that you have to be able to stay on your man regardless of what he's doing in the backfield, regardless of how the play has been shaping out. If you leave your man for one play, Lamar Jackson will exploit you. Now, he's not perfect. Nobody is. But if you start to leave your man to get your scared of what Lamar Jackson is going to do in the open field, they'll just hand the ball to Mark Ingram. Or if you're scared that Mark Ingram just gashed you and he's going to do it again, you crash in on the inside run, Lamar Jackson is going to take that bootleg, go all the way around the edge and get 20 or 30 yards. The Ravens offensive line, I've mentioned before, has been a tremendous asset to this team. Ronnie Stanley is one of the best pass protecting left tackles in the NFL. Marshall Yanda is a future Hall of Famer. And they've put together a nice unit there. But when your offense is able to hold the football and keep the Ravens' offense off the field, that means they can't score points. And just being able to stay disciplined, get the Ravens into three-and-out situations, third-and-long situations, sometimes they can struggle in those. So being able to stay in your lane, stay on your man, and hold the football as an offense, those are your keys to beating the Ravens.
Kevin, there's one thing I'll question the Ravens on. How did you let John Brown walk out the door?
Smoke, as people call him, has been such an asset for the Bills this year, and he was that for the Ravens. But after the Lamar Jackson from Joe Flacco transition, he became somewhat invisible in that Ravens offense. But what we saw from him after those first 9 weeks in a Ravens uniform was he still had it. And when the Ravens signed him in the offseason last year, I thought it was a phenomenal signing. He was kind of an underrated player in Arizona, didn't really get his fair share of targets there. I mean, he was overshadowed by Larry Fitzgerald, prime Michael Floyd, and the like. But you look at John Brown and his skill set. He's that deep speed receiver, but that's really all people gave him credit for, and that's not who he is. I mean, we saw him throw a touchdown pass against the Cowboys last week. I mean, it's just been it's sensational to watch him, and especially in a Bills uniform where he's kind of come into his own as the number one receiver there alongside Cole Beasley, alongside Robert Foster. His skill set matches what the Bills want to do, and for a time it matched what the Ravens wanted to do. I'm sure that John Brown would have considered coming back to the Ravens, but the way the scheme looked last year, the way receivers weren't getting targeted, I think he just wanted somewhere where he was going to get opportunities. He saw the Bills as that place, and it's been a sensational signing for the Bills, a sensational choice by John Brown, and I have nothing bad to say about John Brown. He was an exceptional player. player here. He was an even better human, and I wish him the best, and he's been doing great.
Kevin, we know you got to spend some time with Joe Marino on the Locked On Bills podcast. I'm sure you guys had a nice, long, fruitful discussion about this matchup. I'm curious, from your perspective, what do you think about the Buffalo Bills? What makes you nervous as a guy who covers the Ravens about the Buffalo Bills playing with these two teams playing each other on Sunday?
I mean, you have to start with Josh Allen and what the Bills offense has been able to do. When you look at Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, while the two aren't similar in every facet of the game, you know, Lamar Jackson might be more elusive, but Josh Allen might be able to take more hits. It's something where the Ravens defense has to also stay disciplined. And I give the Bills a lot of credit. An underrated move of this offseason for Buffalo was letting go of LeSean McCoy and letting Frank Gore and Devin Singletary take over that running game alongside Josh Allen. What they've been able to do, and with the additions that the Bills made in the offseason, specifically, we talked about John Brown, but also with the offensive line, this offense is nothing to gawk at, and the Ravens have to be sure that they account for everybody on the field because they have so many different skill sets that the Bills can employ. I mean, John Brown, the deep threat receiver, Cole Beasley, who's a slot guy, picks up first downs on a consistent basis. Then you have Robert Foster, a bunch of other guys. Plus, I just mentioned, the offensive line has been tremendous this season. So when you look at Josh Allen, and I talk about Lamar Jackson's improvement all the time, Josh Allen has also improved consistently over the course of this season. And it's looking like him and Lamar Jackson just might be the two best rookie quarterbacks from that first round in 2018. Now the question will that be is Baker Mayfield is continuing to struggle. Will he bounce back? But right now it's looking like the Lamar Jackson-Josh Allen show. And then you switch over to that defense. The Bills have the third best defense in the league right now, allowing just a tick under 300, or just a tick over 300 yards per game. I think when you have to look at Tre'Davious White, you have to look at Shaq Lawson, the Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde tandem in the safety position in that defensive backfield. The Bills just have players at every position, and it's difficult for the Ravens, and I think it might be the game plan for each and every one of them. It's talent versus talent on both sides of the ball. To be completely honest, this game might come down to special teams.
Kevin, before we let you go, can we bother you for a prediction? How do you see this game playing out?
I've gone back and forth on my prediction here all week, and it's a tough one because the Ravens have played such tough competition, and that doesn't change here with the Buffalo Bills. And you've seen them come out and dominate teams like the Texans and the Patriots and the Seahawks, the Rams, and then play a tough one in San Francisco. And I think the Ravens need some of those tough games to toughen them up for the playoffs. And I believe the Bills do as well as they make their playoff push. When I look at how this game will stack up and shake out, I really look at how the Ravens defense has improved over the last few years here. And even over the last few games, the Ravens kind of hit that lull period within 2013 after the Super Bowl. Then the defense got dominant again. And then earlier this season, we saw it fall off. I mentioned those 10 new players on the defensive side of the ball, mainly Marcus Peters, who has come in, been one of the top-rated cornerbacks since week seven, has two pick sixes, three total interceptions. He didn't have a great game last week against San Francisco, but that's where the X factor lies with me. That Ravens secondary up against John Brown, up against Cole Beasley, Robert Foster, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary, maybe being receiving threats out of the backfield. The Ravens have Marlon Humphrey and Jimmy Smith, Brandon Carr as well, who plays in safety now, and then Earl Thomas obviously is a free safety, and then Chuck Clark taking over for Tony Jefferson in the defensive backfield as the signal caller. I think that that matchup, with the way that Josh Allen has to maneuver that Ravens secondary, might be an issue for the Bills. So I'm going to predict a Ravens win here, but I do think it'll be closer than I've seen some people say it will be. Final score prediction, I'd give it a 35-27 Ravens victory.
Kevin, go ahead and let our audience know where they can hear more of your work.
So I am on Twitter at Locked On Ravens. That's the official Locked On Ravens Twitter. And then I also have my own personal Twitter where I'll tweet out opinion pieces and everything else like that at KOSTRIKER34, Ostriker spelled OSTRIKER. So that is where I am on Twitter.
Kevin, who knows? We might see each other in the postseason here. Kevin, appreciate your time today.
No, thank you for having me. And regardless who wins, who loses, I'm just ready for an exciting game of Ravens and Bills football.
Should be a lot of fun. Thanks, Kev.
Thank you.
Kevin Ostriker, he is the host of the Locked On Ravens podcast. Good with his time and joining us here in the sports bar with Danger Mataglia.
Yeah, I guess my idea of going cover zero, but he did bring up an interesting point. We talked a little about yesterday how the Chargers went to seven defensive backs, and that slowed Lamar Jackson down. But now that you have a guy also in there named Mark Ingram, Yeah, the Bills could put out seven out there, but I wouldn't expect that to be the way to beat Baltimore. You're going to hear a lot of these cliches over the next few days. 1/11th, eye discipline, gap control, all these football adages that you do all that, and easier said than done, but that's going to be the key to bringing down the Baltimore Ravens.
If you're as well-coached team as the Buffalo Bills appear to be this year, these are things that you should be able to do on defense. You should keep your gap integrity, right? You should have your eye discipline, all the things that you hear the coach talk about in his press conferences. If you're as well coached as we believe you are, well, then you get a fighting chance against one of the team's best offenses or one of the league's best offenses. I think this Buffalo Bills team could surprise some people this weekend.
Could.
Let's get to some takes. I've got the problem for the NBA. The NBA, we talked about yesterday, the ratings are down. The TV ratings are getting crushed. It's one man's fault, and I'll explain. Blame one guy. The NBA needs to do something about this guy.
This is bad in Syracuse. It's really bad, but I'm going to point the finger at somebody you would not expect. I think a lot of people should be upset about Syracuse, and if you're a Syracuse fan that waves pom-poms, you're not going to like what I have to say.
Syracuse take? Is it Jim Boeheim in the take? Is he part of the take? Tell me he's part of the take. Tell me Jim Boeheim's part of the take.
Maybe.
I'm licking my chops now, Gino. I'll drink to that. Takes on tap. You're in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia. More next on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion. We've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950. And 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.